Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kuraitis. Today is December 6, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Blowout Jobs Number. And that is a question, folks. What is being reported is that, yes, it is a blowout jobs number that came out earlier this morning. Non-farm payrolls in the U.S. increased by 266,000 for the month of November, following a 156,000 increase in October, easily beating the market's expectations of 180,000. So the markets were anticipating a gain of 180,000. The report came out at 266,000. It was the largest advance in payroll since January of this year. Most of the job gains were added in healthcare, professional and technical services, and in manufacturing. However, I use the word added or created very loosely, especially when it comes to the manufacturing sector. Why? If you recall, and we did a little bit of coverage on this, GM, General Motors, was on strike, and they were on strike for quite a while. So the vast majority of these jobs that were gained in the manufacturing sector, 41,000 of them, came from workers simply returning to work at General Motors. So these are not new jobs. These people were employed. They just decided to go on strike. Nevertheless, they are being counted here in what is being deemed by the financial media and by the White House and Donald J. Trump as a blowout jobs number. Regardless of this, we do have the unemployment rate, unexpectedly, as they like to say in these headlines, going down 3.5%. So it now sits at 3.5%. This is the lowest it has been since 1969. So that is another number that will be touted by Donald Trump in the White House. This is politics. I expect them to do so. Do I expect them to tell the truth as to why this number was as good, quote-unquote, good as it was? No. They're not going to mention the strike. They're not going to say that 41,000 jobs that were already in existence just simply came back online. This is going to be the same story if there ever is some sort of trade deal, whether it's phase one or phase infinity. It's going to be the same thing, taking us back to where we were 2 years ago, if we're lucky. If we're lucky. Now, those farmers who went bankrupt, they're not going to come back. But that's okay. You don't worry about them. It's going to be a fantastic deal. Just take care of the ones that are already here in existence and can survive. And of course, we continue to bail out these farmers. Because why wouldn't we when we're in the midst of the greatest economy ever in the history of the United States? Another thing that isn't discussed, of course, we discuss it here, and I mentioned this yesterday as well. We are in contraction when it comes to construction. We are in contraction when it comes to manufacturing. And what you really have to look at when it comes to manufacturing are the hours worked. Because hours lead bodies. And what I mean by that is you are likely, if you're in any sort of employment, but particularly manufacturing, your hours will get cut. They will be reduced before the layoffs come. So hours lead bodies, okay? Hours are in contraction as well when it comes to manufacturing. Nobody wants to talk about this, of course, because it doesn't make for fancy headlines. It is the truth, however, and I'm here to give you the truth because I want you to be prepared. Of course, the markets don't seem to care about the truth, but one day they will. And I think we're all going to be thankful for paying attention, to be diversified, to have a cash build up, to take advantage of what could likely be the sale of a lifetime, the opportunity of a lifetime. Because if I think what's going to happen happens, we're going to see a massive, massive correction. Because we have contributed to a massive, massive bubble. So you're going to have the same effect. Opposite and equal effect. That's what this is. This is economic physics, if you will. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. I don't know when that day is going to come. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell myself so I could be prepared for it to make a boatload of money on the other side of it. But I don't know. We're just going to have to be patient. Let this thing correct. When there's blood in the street, buy real estate. That's what you have to do. You have to have the nerve and the conviction to go in there when this thing sells off, because it will. You're supposed to buy low and sell high. Well, the market continues to grind higher, making all-time highs. The risk-reward profile is just a little bit too much for me. So I'm backing off. I'm backing off. But I remain invested in this market. I remain diversified, which I tell you to do, and have a cash buildup. as well. Now, of course, this was a number. This was a blowout number. So the markets liked it. They liked it. Now, they could have went either way, but I guess all news is good news to the markets because, again, if it's going to be something that is conveyed as positive, well, okay. Off to the races we go. If it's bad news, who cares? The Federal Reserve will step in to print even more money. So you can't lose. You can't lose. But the Dow Jones gained 327 points today, an increase of 1.2%. The S&P 500 gained 28 points, an increase of 0.9%. The NASDAQ 100 was up 1%, as was the Russell 2000, the small cap index. The UK liked it. The FTSE 100 was up 1.2%. Again, this is all on the back of the U.S. number here, this blowout jobs number, okay? The markets are just looking for anything. They're just grasping for straws here, okay? The German market was up 0.7%. The French and Italians were up 1%, and the Spanish were up 1.5%, all on the back of this news. Don't worry about what came out from Germany. I think we discussed this yesterday. If not, maybe I forgot. German industrial output falls. And again, they use the word unexpectedly. They use the word unexpectedly. Apparently, they're not paying attention to what's going on there. I know I said yesterday that German banks are now going to start charging all of their retail clients, all of the retail customers, negative interest. So if you have money in a bank, they're taking it. They're taking it because that's what negative interest is. That's what I'm telling you. Is this what you want here? I don't want it here. I hope you don't want it here. But President Donald J. Trump does, if we're to take him for his word. I mean, I know what that's worth. But that's what he called for. He wants negative interest rates here in the United States. I want some of that money. It's your money. Don't you want your money? I think you do. I think you do. So be on the lookout for that. So again, folks, manufacturing is in contraction. Construction is in contraction. Retail jobs are not there. And you would think that they would be when it comes to the holiday season. They are not there, as one would expect. Transports is in contraction. These are the realities. Now, you can continue to believe in fairies and unicorns, be my guest. But you're going to be buying at all-time highs. Be careful. Tread lightly. Also, obviously on the back of this blowout jobs number, Larry Kudlow had to make the news rounds. And what did old Larry have to say? Well, you guessed it. It had something to do with U.S.-China trade talks. And on one station, he says they're doing fine. Everything's going along very, very well. And on the other, he said, well, you know, it's really up to Donald Trump. He'll make the final decision. He's not in any hurry to sign anything. Folks, the president has no incentive whatsoever to sign a deal as long as he can continue to send his lackeys out there, or himself, and telling everybody that the China deal is close. Because if the market's going to keep going up, that's exactly what he wants, unless, of course, he has a short position. And then he'll say, well, I don't know, I think I'm going to walk away. And then a couple days later, after he's profited, perhaps, he's back on with the deal is close. And of course, this could be played both ways, because I'm sure China has caught on to this game as well. And so they could come out there with headlines, because they know it's going to move the markets as well. So maybe everybody's profiting behind the scenes from this sick charade, this sick game of being lied to and jerked around for going on 2 years now. But Donald Trump has no incentive to sign a deal. None, because he wants the stock market to go higher, even though he claims he doesn't pay attention to it, which, of course, is a bold-faced lie. Remember, he said that earlier this week when he was over in London for the NATO gathering. He also said something interesting during the NATO gathering, but in that same vein. He said, I don't watch the stock market. I really don't pay attention to it. I watch the jobs. That's what I pay attention to. Interesting that he says that this week, isn't it? Why would he mention jobs this week? Did the president have inside information? Did he happen to know that it was going to be a quote-unquote blowout jobs number this week? Is that why he made such a claim? I don't pay attention to the stock market, which of course is a lie. He even tweeted about the stock market today, so just completely contradicting himself. But nevertheless, he mentioned jobs, and it was a big beat on the jobs number as to what was expected. Did he know this? Interesting question. On the political front, We have the White House refusing to take part in the House impeachment inquiry. There was another deadline today that the president and the White House had to meet, and they came back and they said, nope, we're not going to partake in this House impeachment inquiry, which is also interesting, is it not? Because since the very beginning of all of this, President Trump and the White House have been doing nothing but complaining, and the Republicans, about not having a part in this process. Well, they've been invited formally to take part in this impeachment inquiry, and they have refused twice this week. Twice this week they have refused. So I guess it's never good enough. So they're going to continue to double down. So you know that this is Donald Trump's strategy, because this is him. This has his name all over it. He doubles down. He triples down. That's what he wants to do. Okay, that's his strategy. He's entitled to it. But why complain? Because that's the strategy. People don't pay attention to these facts. People don't draw these conclusions. People just read the headlines. They just listen to their favorite pundit on the news. Stop and think about what's going on here. They had the opportunity to go down there, to be a part of the process. They refused. So they're simply going to wait, because most likely this thing is going to go to a trial in the Senate. Most likely we'll know before Christmas, only a few weeks away. And we'll go from there. So imagine that President Trump, the Republicans, and the White House will continue to say that this is an unfair, biased process, that we're not allowed to participate, even though they've been invited to participate, because the truth doesn't matter. We just got to put out a narrative out there, and we just have to repeat it. The more I can repeat something, well, then it must be true. That's old propaganda. That's Nazi propaganda, by the way. It's not good for when anybody does it, and I'm not just blaming Donald Trump. A lot of them do it, but Donald Trump's the president right now. What else do we have here? Oh, we have the Federal Reserve meeting next week. Now, how can the Federal Reserve cut interest rates next week? I don't know. I don't think they can, unless there's a huge sell-off on Monday, Tuesday of next week in the stock market. Because they got employment at an all-time low here at 3.5%. Going all the way back to 1969, you have a stock market at all-time highs. Wait a minute, this sounds like the same story we've been talking about for months. Of course they could cut interest rates next week. They don't care. They don't care. Cut them next week. They don't care. And of course, we still have to wait to see what Thunder Thumbs does with tariffs, because tariffs on China are set to go into effect on December 15th. Will he roll them back? Will he postpone them? Or will he put them on? Because we thought, well, maybe, a couple down days in the stock market. Maybe Trump was trying to box in the Federal Reserve. Cut interest rates, support us in this negotiation with China. Our stock market can keep going up. Remember, folks, this is a trade war. The first casualty of any war is the truth. So you had the BS, what I think are BS numbers that came out of China earlier this week and over the weekend, showing a little bit of return to expansion. I'm not buying it. And now you have U.S. GDP that was 1.9%. Now it's 2.1%. And now you have a quote-unquote blowout jobs number. But they're just posturing. It's all this is. It's just a big game. We're fine. We're not hurting. China's economy is fantastic. U.S. economy is the best ever in the history of this country. It's a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of BS. But China doesn't care about the truth. Donald Trump doesn't care about the truth. We just need headlines. It's all we need here in this country is just headlines. If we have headlines, everything will be okay. That's the world in which we live. I'm not happy about it, but that's where we find ourselves. I'm not smart enough to know what Donald Trump is going to say next. If he's going to say, yeah, the tariffs are going on. If he wants this market to crash or come down somewhat significantly so he can blame the Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve meets next week. Every time they meet, Donald Trump has something to say. And he knows that they're not going to come out and say anything because they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to when they have their FOMC meeting. They say nothing. And despite the fact that Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is typically asked during his follow-up press conference to these meetings about the politics of everything, he just, blows it off. the Federal Reserve is independent, which is a joke. That's not true. They want to give the appearance that they're independent, but they're not, because they've been doing exactly what Donald Trump has wanted, has been whining about, has been complaining about for months, actually going on an entire year already. Lower interest rates and quantitative easing. Well, we have lower interest rates and we have quantitative easing. And on top of that, we have daily liquidity and nightly liquidity being thrown into these markets to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars. This is why the stock market cannot have any type of correction, because they keep juicing this thing anytime it slips. We saw a very rare glimpse earlier this week of a slight minor pullback. We had further deteriorating economic numbers come out throughout this week, globally and here in the United States. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. As long as we can keep printing funny money, this charade can keep going. I sound like a broken record, and I'm sorry about this, but this is what they're doing. I wish I had something more positive to say, but this is what they're doing. This affects us. This is why I don't like the game. That's why I do this podcast, to educate as many people as I can, to inform them of how these guys play this game. But it's your money. You understand this? These policies affect your pocketbook. They affect your jobs prospects. I hope I make that clear. I hope you can connect the dots with that. That's why I don't like what the Federal Reserve's doing. That's why I don't like what Donald Trump is doing with the BS headlines when it comes to trade. That's why I don't like when Donald Trump comes out and is talking about negative interest rates and that he wants them here in this country. I don't like it because I understand the very, very negative consequences that that will bring. Might it juice the stock market? It may. It may. But at what cost? Do you think this game can just continue to be played forever and ever? I don't think so. History tells us that it cannot. History tells us that the further you inflate a bubble, the bigger the correction, the bigger the burst. Not only that, this is an immoral and unethical action, and I also think it's criminal because it is stealing from future generations. It's stealing, it already has, from younger generations. We just spoke yesterday about the median age here in the United States of the home buyer. In 1981, it was 31 years of age. Today, it's 47. That's a lost generation because housing is too expensive. Well, how do you think that happened? If you pay attention to this podcast, you know exactly how it's happened. And when is it going to end? Well, it's not so long as you continue to print this funny money and so long as you continue to argue for quantitative easing and for negative interest rates. Home ownership is going to become more and more difficult. Maybe in a few years, it's not going to be 47 years of age anymore. It might be 50. It might be 50. That's why I think we have to have the correction now, because it has to affect negatively the people who have implemented these policies. Not younger generations, and not generations who don't even exist yet. That's not right. That's not moral. That's not ethical. It's criminal. It's criminal. People who have absolutely nothing, nothing to do with the policies that have been enacted and continue to be implemented should not have to bear the costs and the negative consequences. Those who have voted for these idiots, those who have not stood up to these idiots, they're the ones who need to pay this price. Not younger generations and not future generations who don't even exist. But that's not the world we live in, because the same generations that have implemented these policies are the ones who are in power. And do you think they're going to sacrifice their checking account for their grandkids? Not a chance in hell. These global protests that we see, these are the only leaders that exist in the world. It's the people taking to the streets, standing up for themselves, their families, and their country. Sick and tired of the abuse and the corruption. sick and tired of the increase in the cost of living, not being able to afford basic rent, home ownership, food costs, transportation costs, sending their children to school, whole lot of it. People are sick and tired. They're breaking. When will the system break? When will those protests make their way to more developed countries? They're on their way, believe me when I tell you. Blowout jobs number, I think not, but you can believe whatever you want to believe. This is still a free country as far as I'm aware. It is Friday. Enjoy your weekend, folks. We'll see what transpires over the weekend. If there's something worth discussing, I'll do a week ahead segment. If not, you'll catch me here on Monday. Do enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch you next time. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. This is Alex Caritas. Godspeed.